Peter chapter 1.
I'm going to talk about today the world and everything in it. No, just kidding.
It feels about like that when you approach the subject of renewing the mind. It's like, shall we cover every topic under the sun? You know, it's that big. It's like trying to cover the whole Encyclopedia Britannica in one sermon.
But we're stepping back into, since we've come out of the Thanksgiving holiday. And last week we talked about the importance of Thanksgiving. I want to connect the dots, if I may. Preachers really feel the urge to do this, so I'm going to continue the tradition. Last week we talked about Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving really plays a huge part in our willingness and our motivation to be sanctified, to have our minds renewed. And here's what I mean by that. Many times throughout the New Testament, we're encouraged in certain scriptures, be made new. Do this. You know, move toward holiness. And in the context of those verses, there's always the aspect of this. In the light of what God has done, be holy. What is that? That's called grace. There's always first the revelation of grace. This is something you need to understand about the new covenant. How many of you know we're under a new covenant? We're not under Moses' covenant of the Old Testament. We're under what's called the new covenant. In your Bibles, when you open up, there's a division between Old Testament. Testament means covenant. And then when you get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that we're stepping into the new covenant. Well, in the new covenant, the motivation is always done in this context. In view of this, respond like this. In view of what Jesus has done, give your life to him. Amen? It's never, God doesn't just treat us. Listen, I want to repeat myself. I want to hammer this in. Under the old covenant, you were just told to do this because he is God. All right? His parents, you know, we know that, you know. Do it because I said so. All right? There's no grace in that. It's just a command. And if you don't, here's the consequences. In the new covenant, it's look what all Jesus has done. Therefore, you must do this. There's an impetus. There's a motivation. There's always a backing to push us into holiness, to push us into renewing our mind. And the backing is we respond to God's grace. We respond in the light of what he's already done. God has already made you holy, therefore be holy. God's made you a new creature, therefore wake up and act like one. Okay, you got me? So 1 Peter chapter 1, here's an example of a verse like that. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Amen? We can't plead the ignorance plea anymore once we come into the Lord. Verse 15, but just as he who called you, now stop right there. It's easy to pass over that phrase, but here's the grace. He who called you. What happened? What is that? God called you. Sometimes we say, we had a logo on the back of one of our t-shirts recently. I have decided to follow Jesus. The truth is, he called you, and then you responded. That's the new covenant. Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you. He told his disciples that, and he says that to us too. I chose you, Joanne. You think you said yes to Jesus, but really Jesus was choosing you all the while. And you just responded eventually. And that's what Peter's saying here. He said, just as he who called you, that's grace. In the light of God's grace, he is holy, so be holy in all you do. There's the commandment. So the grace always comes before the commandment in the new covenant. Say that with me. The grace comes before the commandment. One more time. The grace comes before the commandment. I want to stick that in your minds today. Let's read on. So be holy in all you do. Verse 16, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Be holy because I'm holy. He called you. That's grace. Therefore, we step into holiness. That's one example. Look at another example in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 is a very familiar passage. Verse 1. We'll read the first part of Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you. I'm reading in the New International Version. If you're new to our church, you'll notice I switch versions according to what I like. The versions, sometimes their translation is like, I'm artsy, so if it speaks to me poetically, I'm going to latch onto that translation for what I want to bring out. So I'm reading New International Version here because I like it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. What is that? Here's God's grace. In view, God has done this through the new covenant. The revelation comes before the commandment.
Say that with me. The revelation comes before the commandment. So in view of God's mercy. Now look, hit a pause button right there and look up in verse 32 of the previous chapter. Chapter 11, verse 32. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. There's the revelation. And then he goes into what's called, you see in your Bible there, a little heading, doxology. That's Paul stopping to have a praise session right there. He's just getting carried away. So from verse 33 to 36 in chapter 11, he just gets carried away and starts praising God for his mercy. And then in chapter 12, verse 1, he picks it up right again. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, God has done this, you must do this. And there's what he says, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. One translation says your reasonable service. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. We'll stop right there. That's what we're talking about today, the renewing of your mind. And this session could go on and on and on because there's so much to say about it. But here's what I want to point out to you. The new covenant comes to us like this. God reveals himself to us, then he expects us to respond. He shows us how merciful he's been, and he expects a response from us. The revelation, the grace comes before the commandment. And the grace is actually the power to walk in the commandment. He says, look, God's been so merciful to you. Look what he's given in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, present yourself a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's the problem. Listen, when you got saved, here's what happened. I was driving the other day to our phase two of our Thanksgiving celebration, which was over in Deer Park with my parents. And as I was driving, we hopped on the tollway. We got one of those easy tags. Boy, those are great. Years ago, I used to not like them because they made it real hard to set up the credit card to get it all done. But boy, it's true. Super. So we're driving under the easy tag lane. And right when you go under, there's a thing like that projector there hanging right above the car. And right as your car passes under, what happens? Looks like a light bulb goes off, right? Like the old school cameras with the flash bulbs. It's taking a picture of us, I guess, to make sure we got our tag in the right place. And so that flash goes, pow. Listen, when you and I got saved, here's what happened. If we could have seen in the spirit realm, a flash, a quickening, and your dead spirit man came alive. And all of a sudden, your spirit, which had been dead through sin, through Adam, through the devil's nature, through generations and generations of unrenewedness, your spirit was made alive like a butterfly coming out of its cocoon, like a flash. What a glorious event when you got born again. Something powerful happened down in here. It was mightier than the explosions that happen in the universe when stars blow up or when stars form or all whatever stars do out there. I'm not a scientist. But your spirit came alive like that, like a flash. But listen, your brain is playing catch up. Your brain is playing catch up to what happened here in your spirit. And how many of you know, this is a lifetime endeavor to catch up in our brain with what's going on here. And that's why Paul says things like this. He says, look, God's been so merciful. And he presents the doxology there at the end of chapter 11. He says, praise be to God. Well, let's just read it. It's just great. Verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Verse 34. Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. We sing that song. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Paul says, look what God's done. He's shown mercy to you through Christ Jesus. Therefore, in the light of this, present your body. Conform no more to the world. Listen, saints, we have a responsibility. It's not right to get born again and then live like a heathen the rest of your days. There's lots of people that will do it. And they may die younger than what God intended. They may die more miserable than what God intended. They may die not having secured half of this life's blessings that God intended. Because why? They didn't renew their mind. They conform right back to the pattern of this world. But that's not you and I, is it? No. In view of God's mercy, we take our brain and say, you're going to the bathtub, the holy bathtub. You're getting a bath, brain. We're going to renew you in Jesus. Listen, your brain is the control center of your life. This is how important renewing the mind is, saints.
This is not an optional activity for us as Christians. This is not just for the pastor to do because he has to preach every week. No. This is so that you can tap the life that's in you. Did you know that residing in you is the very life that created the universe? Residing in you is the power to raise cripples. The residing in you is the power to raise the dead. But you're only going to tap and take advantage of that life to the degree that you get this brain in sync with it. The brain is the control center. Listen to this phrase. I didn't make it up. It's good. Your brain stands between your body and your spirit, deciding who will win. Two's company, three's the crowd. Who are we going to crowd out? Your spirit's holy, man. He wants to do the right thing 24/7. Your body, naughty. Wants to sit on the couch and be a couch potato. Wants to feed me. You remember that years ago, that movie when it grows? Feed me. Listen, your body is naughty. It's really kind of neutral, actually. You can command your body. You can line up your body. We can get control of our body. But the key player in the whole equation is right here. I don't know how much a brain weighs. A couple pounds of fleshy matter. It's an organ in our head, in our cranium. And Jesus came to redeem it. Hallelujah. Do you know the very hill that Jesus was crucified on? What was it called? Golgotha, which means, say it out loud, the place of the skull. Jesus came to change your mind. Not just your mind. Now listen, we're not a church that teaches mind over matter. We teach this matters first. Your spirit man be born again. Your spirit come alive. But then a real close second to that is the renewing of the mind. Taking care of that thing, the skull. The very thing that Jesus came to redeem. When he was in the garden, he sweat great drops of blood from his brow. The place of stress, which happens right here in the mind. And when they were preparing Jesus to be crucified, they did what? They plaited a crown of thorns and placed it on his skull. Thorns speak of the curse. The curse. Listen, you got born again when you accepted Jesus in your heart. You heard the gospel. Your spirit came alive. But you entered the house with a crown of thorns in your head. What is that? A curse-minded mindset. A curse-minded habit, if you will. We entered the kingdom with a cursed mind. You know, mom and dad said we couldn't afford such and such. So you heard Tom several weeks ago when he preached here, Tom Faircloth. He said growing up, you know, his parents would say things like, you know, we can't afford that kind of thing. What is that? That's a poverty mentality that comes from the curse. That's right. The thorns represent the cursed ground where we have to work and work and work. What happened when Adam sinned? God said the ground will produce thorns for you, man, in response to the curse, in response to sin. Jesus bore the curse so we can be freed from a cursed mentality. Hallelujah. Jesus wants you free. Jesus wants you. I speak this over your week, going into next week. Don't ever buy the lie that you're under a curse. You know, sometimes something goes wrong, your tire blows out in your car, and you go, oh, I must have done something wrong. God's not happy with me. That's a cursed mentality. And it comes very subtly. Such and such happened to me, where I'm not feeling well in my body because I did something wrong. I did something wrong, therefore I'm under a curse. Jesus redeemed us from the curse. Amen? And he wants our mind renewed to be free from that thorny crown of the curse. That's good preaching right there. How do we comprehend what's happened to us? How do you and I comprehend? How do we lay hold of, with this brain of ours, what's really happened inside this spirit? So that we can actually activate it and make it useful. You know, you can be very gifted. Tara and I have seen this over the years. She used to watch ice skating quite a bit. Still does, in the Winter Olympics and so forth. Likes that. And over the years, we've seen different ice skaters interviewed, and they would say things like, you know, I was just a maverick. I wanted to do my own thing. And such coach came into my life, and they harnessed my gift. They harnessed my ability so I could be productive on the ice. I'll never forget that. Remember who that was, but we've heard one or two of them over the years that have said things like that. You've got the power of the universe inside you. That's the new man that's created to be like Jesus. But the renewing of the mind is necessary for you to tap that potential and for you to be productive in life toward other people who are dying and need Jesus. Amen? This is why we renew our minds, so we can get the life of God out of us, because you're the only Jesus your neighbors will ever see. You're it. You're the only Jesus your coworkers will ever see or know. It behooves us then to bring forth the life of God, Patsy, out of our spirit. What's in here? Oh my God. I see people walk by my store every day on crutches and cast and limping and stress on their face. Who's going to bring them life? If it's not me, if it's not you. And how are we going to get that life into their hands except our minds be renewed and we find out what is it that's happening here? I'm telling you, 2018 for us as a church is going to be the year of the Word. The year of the Word of God. Why? Because the only way you and I can discover what's inside of us is in this book. Thank God for this book. Praise God. I got a video in the mail the other day. If you want one, send $10 to 700 Club. They'll send you. It's Martin Luther. You know, this is the 500th year anniversary of Martin Luther, the guy that pinned the 95 thesis on the door of the Catholic Church and started the Protestant Revolution. Martin Luther did that 500 years ago. And at the beginning of the video, they start off with the guy, John Hus, I think was his name, in Czechoslovakia or somewhere like that, Hungary. He died, burned at the stake because he resisted the established church at the time. And I think his prayer, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't watched the whole video yet, but part of his prayer had to do with God open the eyes of the King of England. Some of you know that story. Open the eyes of the King of England. And that's where our King James Bible came from, was the King of England set out to produce a written Bible in a language that people could read themselves. Saints, this is no small thing we have in our hands. And this year, we're going to push. Listen, if you don't like this book, you're not going to like hanging around here long in 2018 if you're not into the Bible, because we're going to promote it. We wrote a lot of things at our book table, but this is one thing we're going to promote in the new year, because it's this book that will transform your mind and cause you to become what you are in here. Listen, we're like little cocoons holding the life of Jesus inside of us. But again, it will do no good and it can produce no benefit to those in society around us greater than the degree that we renew our minds and say yes to that life in us. Let it come out, Jesus. Let it come out, Jesus. And your mind has to cooperate. Your mind must be in cooperation in order that life to be manifest, Patsy. It won't happen any other way. Sorry. Otherwise, your mind will just say, let's just live the way we've always lived. Grandpa did it this way. Dad did it this way. I'm going to do it Dad's way. Or if Frank Sinatra was saying, I'll do it my way. Listen, you will naturally default to do it Adam's way if you don't renew your mind. Amen. Hear me. Paul, in describing the armor in Ephesians 6, describing the Roman armor as a comparison to the armor of God that you and I wear in the spirit realm, he said this: we put on the helmet of salvation. And in the Roman times, the helmet was a very ornate thing. You've seen them with the big red plume, right? Sometimes that plume would run all the way to the ground, depending on what rank the officer was. Or might have carvings, elaborate carvings. We haven't seen the extent of it really in movies. They do sort of a cheapy tinfoil looking thing in most biblical movies or movies where they're trying to emulate that era. But the helmet was very ornate in that day. What does that speak of? This salvation is no small matter, saints. This salvation, what Jesus has done on the inside of you, is fantastic. It's more ornate than the universe itself. It's more glorious than the prettiest Christmas tree out in the lobby. It's fabulous. What Jesus has done in your spirit, Robert, is fantastic. It's fantastic. It's a helmet of salvation. It's an elaborate salvation that Jesus has saved us with. And the only way we can get to know it more and more and more and understand it more and more and more and what he's given us more and more and more is to get in the book. Renew our mind. Renew our mind. Listen, when you approach this book, it won't make a lick of sense. The Bible does not make sense. It makes faith. The Bible does not make sense. In fact, the Word tells us there's a verse in Corinthians somewhere. I'm not going to take time to turn to it now, but Paul said, the things of God are foolishness to the carnal mind. As husband and wife, there are times when one of us may be walking in the good stuff, the Holy Spirit. And there are times when the other spouse may just be flat out unrenewed, walking like a bum. And all of a sudden, what happens? The wife says, you know, honey, it's a good time to pray. We should pray. And the husband's thinking, I'm not feeling very spiritual right now. I feel like watching football. I've been thinking about the next meal. I've been thinking about that dessert. I'm going to go back and get me another portion. What is that? Listen, it's funny, it's true. Sometimes one's walking in the spirit, one's just walking in the flesh. God wants us in sync. Amen? There's great things that happen when we're in sync together, as husband and wife, walking in the Word, walking in the renewed mind. And listen, the only way, I'm telling you, the only way this salvation manifests is in renewing our mind, our mind being renewed. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't make sense. It's a discipline. Jesus trained 12 disciples. He didn't have a 12-member fan club. They were 12 disciples, which meant they learned discipline. Jesus was a man who walked under amazing discipline. He said, I can do nothing of myself. What I say that I've heard my Father say. That's all I say. I don't say what my own opinion. Have you ever taken on that mindset in the office at work? People are jabbering about this or that. You just jump in there naturally. Just jump in. Listen, this is not a condemning thing, but I'm just telling you, I'm real. I do this too. We jump in with our opinion. Who cares about your opinion? What does Jesus have to say? Who's the new you in the matter? What does Jesus have to say in the matter? That's what we should be stepping back and saying. What do you think, Lord? What do you think? Listen, the world doesn't need another opinion. It needs newness of life. It needs to see Jesus. It needs to see something other than Adam. The world is screaming for something other than Adam. And when they see it, it blows their mind. They go, that's what I've been looking for. Wow. And it happens as you and I renew our mind in the Word of God. Jesus kept the custom of being in the synagogue every Sabbath. For what purpose? To hear the Word. To hear the Word. Listen, coming to church, let me tell you what church is to a certain degree. It's an amplified echo of what the Spirit's already been telling you during the week. It reinforces what God's already been speaking to you. How many of you have found that to be the case? You come to church and you leave here and you go, wow, how did he know that? The Holy Spirit just showed me that 2 days ago. How did Scott know to say that? It's just a reinforcement. This is reinforcement of what God's been telling you all week, if you're listening. Church shouldn't be a surprise. More often than not, you ought to come in every week and already have my sermon in your heart. Why? Because you're renewing your mind. You're listening to the Holy Ghost. What's he saying to you on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Listen, saints, it's not enough for you to take 1 hour a week of the Word I give you and call it done. That's not a renewed mind. It's a spiritual steroid. It's a spiritual boost. That's what I mean. It's an amplification of what you should be hearing already from the Spirit of God. But you have to get in the book yourself. You have to read this book yourself. I can't renew your mind for you. You can't renew my mind for me. Even spousals. My wife and I, we've been walking with the Lord 30-something years. We're not going anywhere. But listen, if she misses a day in the Word or 2 days in the Word, or I'd be more fair. Men are more apt to miss 2 days in the Word, get busy with life. Listen, if I miss a couple days in the Word, and all of a sudden I start walking in the old ways, what happens? I get out of sync. Because she's walking in the Word, and I'm out here in left field. We have to stay in sync. Jesus showed up at church every week, every Sabbath, to hear the Word of God. There's a good example. Truthfully, if we had church 24/7, We could never hear so much. Did you know every time you hear the Word preached, what you're hearing right now, your spirit is, I'm infusing into your spirit man vitamins. You're eating broccoli at this moment in the spirit. Did you know that? And we could never, if we stayed here 24/7, if we said just slide the food under the door, we're going to hang out here for a while, we could stay here 24/7 every week, week after week, and we could never hear so much that we get to a point where we go, I got it. My mind's renewed with an ED on the end. Done. Listen, it's never done. Mind renewal is constant. Every day. Every day. How many of you ever heard of Christine Kane? This little firebomb from Australia. Quite a preacher woman. Christine Kane says it this way. She's a lot like Joyce Meyer, had a horrendous upbringing, a lot of abuse, horrible life. Jesus saved her out of darkness. She says it this way, she's got a favorite saying. I know I'm one thought away from an unrenewed mind. I live in the reality that I'm always one possible thought away from an unrenewed mind. What is she saying? It's like that verse in the old hymn. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. We realize how much God's done for us, how much God's given us, but we also realize I could step out of the grace by going back to my old way of thinking. One thought could lead us astray. Listen, that's how deliberate we have to be with this thing called mind renewal. That's how vigilant we have to be. One thought of unbelief, one thought of anger, one thought of unforgiveness, one thought of evil desire can enter our life, enter our world like a fiery dart and set our world on fire. For years, if we let it. Our shield of faith is meant to quench every fiery dart from the enemy. Amen? But you get your shield of faith. You keep it wet by staying in the book. You keep your shield of faith its quenching power by staying in the book. The book is the place to be. I shared with you last week, it's like the belt in a soldier's armor. The belt holds all the other things in place. The sword sheath, the breastplate was connected to the belt. The loin belt was protecting his vital organs, his productive organs. It's the only way we can produce the life of Jesus Christ is by having our loin belt in place. And what is the loin belt? It's the belt of truth or the Word of God. It's this Logos Word that is our loin belt. Very easy for us to look at someone like Adolf Hitler and say, well, that guy was possessed by Satan. He was really evil. Me, I'm not really that bad. We don't think that way consciously, but subconsciously a lot of times we do. We hear about Joseph Stalin killed millions of Russians during his reign as the leader of Russia or whatever, or Hitler, you know, killed all these people and sent all these Jews to an early death. He was evil. He was possessed by Satan. And yet we don't see ourselves so bad. I mean, we did give our heart to Jesus years ago, and we come to church regularly, so we're not so bad. I got news for you. You're that bad. In your unrenewed state, you and I are that bad. Now, we may not have acted out those things, and I'm not saying you're bad, because if you're in Christ, you're good. But your mind needs some catching up. Amen? Your mind is entrenched in Adam. It's entrenched in Satan. Your mind needs to be caught up to where your spirit has been brought to this moment. That's what I mean. You're not like Adolf. You don't look anything like him, Robert. He didn't have a beard. He's had the mustache. Okay. But listen, left unchecked, you and I have the potential to be as evil as the most evil person that ever lived. That's what I'm saying. You get me? You follow me? All right. Some of you looked shocked a moment ago. I said it for shock factor, actually. Wake you up. It's the seventh inning stretch. No, truthfully, without the Lord, amen, there, but for the grace of God, there go you or I, right? And listen, like Christine Kane said, I'm one thought away from an unrenewed mind. Listen, a believer can do horrendous things if they don't renew their mind. We can behave just like we were when we were lost. This is the importance, saints. I can't stress it enough. It's so important. The renewing of the mind. So much more to say on it. Let me say this. When you got born again, you received a nature just like we read about when we read the story of Jesus in the wilderness. Remember when Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness? Jesus was tempted with things that are exactly the kind of things that you and I are tempted with today. It's easy to look at the natural story when you read about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness and get distracted by the outward things that Satan was tempting him with. For example, throw yourself off the temple and, God will raise you up, Well, you look at that and go, well, I've never been tempted to, you know, jump off a temple steeple. That's silly. Those things, what Satan tempted Jesus with, are the very same things that tempt us. What was it? Bread, right? Jesus had fasted for 40 days. And Satan came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What was that? It was an appetite that would have appealed to his physical being. Okay? So let's take our eyes, our focus off the bread for the moment and the rocks in the picture. And let's focus on what was Jesus really being tempted with there. He was being tempted with physical appetites. Okay? Now that makes a little more sense, right? That brings it a little closer to home. So you could have an appetite for sex. You could have an appetite for food. You know, we got all, in our day and age, we have all kinds of disorders, eating disorders, you know, addictions to our body, all kinds of things. I don't want to name specifics, but you know what I'm talking about, eating disorders, just excess. The Bible talks a lot about excess. And Jesus was tempted in that moment to give in to his bodily appetites. And what did he do? He said, it is written. Where did he get that? Well, he went to Sabbath. He went to the synagogue every Sabbath. And what did he hear? He heard the scrolls unwound and the reading of Isaiah, the reading of the law of Moses. He drew from the word of God. The written word of God became his weapon in that moment to live out who he really was. Satan said, throw yourself off this temple. He took him to the highest part of the temple and said, throw yourself down. In other words, kill yourself. And right before you hit the ground, God's angels will catch you. And the Jews will know, man, he really is the Messiah. Because God saved him, spared his life. In other words, it's a pride of life kind of temptation. Look what I can do. I'm Superman. And he jumps off the temple and he says, look what I can do. That's pride of life. Satan tempted Jesus with the pride of life, and Jesus said, no, don't tempt the Lord your God. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Time and time again, he said to the devil. Now, here's the good news. I want to end on this. When you got born again, when you accepted Jesus, you gave your life to him, your spirit, I described it earlier as like that toll booth camera flashing. Like power, just like a big spark. Your spirit came alive. And it didn't just come alive with your own willpower. It's not that like the old Alan Edge was dead and we brought Alan Edge to life just in his own strength. No, his spirit was born again with the power, the nature of Jesus. It's not like we're bringing out the best in him. And people say, bring out the best in you. Be the best you can be. No, the best I can be is about like Adolf Hitler on a good day. That's who we are in Adam, okay? Lest you ever get prideful. Jesus didn't come to bring out the best you can be. He came to bring your spirit to life and infuse you with a nature that when tempted with bodily appetites or the pride of life, or the lust of the eyes, when Satan said, look at all the kingdoms of the world, I'll give them to you if you'll just worship me. And Jesus said no to the glamour, to the lust of the eyes. You and I have been infused, we've been born again with a nature identical to Jesus. John describes it this way. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that is still hanging around this world, thinking he's the God of this world. We have a nature. And listen, when you're in the face of temptation, sometimes you feel weak. Sometimes you feel like, oh, I'm going to cave. My body wants this so bad. Or, you know, this would make me so proud if I could do da-da-da. Listen, those are temptations of the enemy. And Jesus rises in you and he says, it is written. You have the same nature that Jesus had to overcome. You have that nature. Say this with me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I'm created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's who you are.
who you are. I know you don't feel that way at times. I know I don't feel that way. Wake up in the morning, your brain's still half asleep. We have to be deliberate with this thing called the renewing of the mind. We have to be deliberate. The Lord gave me this phrase this time. You don't get what you want in the kingdom. You get what you possess. You get what you take. It means being deliberate to a large extent. Now, I know there are times when God just drops gifts of mercy here and there on our lives. But to a large degree, in the kingdom, we don't get what we want. We get what we possess by faith, what we take. If you want to be more like Jesus, you must take it. You must possess it. You must find verses in the book that talk about what is the nature of Jesus. We just quoted it from Ephesians 4. I'm like God in true righteousness and holiness. There's no hypocrisy in God. There's no phoniness, no religiosity. He is holy through and through. That's why he says true righteousness. It's not a scam. It's not a phony baloney. He's not a phony God. He's holy from the inside out. And you say that over and over again. You quote that. That's from Ephesians 4, around about verse 17, 20, somewhere in there. True righteousness and holiness. That's who I am. I'm created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let me give you a few thoughts just to close with here. I was just thinking about Paul's Ephesians, you know, his letters to the churches, these small books that we call the small epistles, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, all the uns, okay? And listen, Galatians, if you're feeling the need for freedom in your life, you feel like you've been restricted, or you feel like you've been in bondage to an addiction, in bondage to a behavior, read Galatians. Feed on Galatians. What is Galatians about? It's all about freedom. Freedom. And take the freedom pill. Take the Galatians pill. Freedom pill. What, Swilly? Take the Galatians pill. Listen, if you're feeling insecure, meditate. Spend time in Ephesians. What is Ephesians about? The book of Ephesians is about your security in Christ. You're seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. Listen, you feel like you're being kind of ganged up on at work, or you're ganged up on in life. And, you know, it's kind of you against them kind of thing. Read Ephesians. You'll see the one who sits in the heavens laughs, the Bible says. What does that mean? If you're sitting on top of the world, you can laugh at your enemies. Read Ephesians. Meditate in Ephesians. Philippians. Paul was in jail when he wrote Philippians. What's that book about? Learning how to be joyous, even in horrible circumstances. Meditate on Philippians. Listen, you're in a pit right now. You need to chew on Philippians a little bit. You need to meditate on Philippians. You need to soak up Philippians. Let your brain, take your brain out for a good soaking in the book of Philippians for a while. Colossians. What's Colossians about? Listen, you feel like your life's been shattered. Your life's been broken. You don't have anybody in your family that you can tie into and say, there's a whole person. What is Colossians about? You're complete in him. You're complete in him. You're complete in Christ. He feels the God who feels all in all. It's all about being full of the one who is complete and whole. Colossians will fill you up with some wholeness. That's just a start for your week. A couple of pills to take. Take Galatians and call me in the morning. Take Ephesians and see me next week. Listen, saints, it's spending time in this book. As I said, it doesn't make sense. It makes faith. It's the new you. It's your identity. It's the true identity. I heard a really good slogan. I want to end with this week. This guy said this. Inner healing is not so much reconciling the truth of our past circumstances, or reconciling ourselves to our the truth of our hurts or our past. It's reconciling ourselves to the truth of who God's made us to be. Let me say that again, as I kind of stumbled through it. Listen, inner healing, the healing that most of us feel like we need in our life to be better, to do better, to be the person we want to be, is not so much about, you know, and I've in circles, different circles of Christianities over the years, you heard some zany things going on where people say, you know, you were abused as a child. No, I wasn't. Yes, you were. No, you weren't. No, you're. And people try to convince you if you went through a horrible thing. Listen, it's not when you face so much your past or face your hurts that you're healed. It's when you face who Jesus has made you to be. There's where the healing comes. Amen? I mean, there's sometimes we got to be honest with the past. I'm not against honesty with what happened.
But that's not where the healing's going to come from. The healing's going to come from, Jesus has made me this, and I take hold of this. I lay hold of this. This is my new identity. That was my past. This is my future. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The renewing of the mind. So much more to say about it. Let's all stand together. We praise you, Lord, for this book you've put in our hands. We thank you that we have the written word before us that our eyes can fall upon, that our mind can meditate upon, that we can understand and perceive all that you've done for us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we give thanks today. This is a follow-up to the Thanksgiving holiday. Let's just tell them thanks. Come on, saints. From our hearts, we thank you, Jesus, for saving us. We thank you for calling us to holiness, for calling us to your nature within us. Lord, we thank you that you're creating in us an image that looks just like your Son, Jesus. And that as we learn more and more each day, we can walk in him, we can move in him and have our being in him. We can be like the sons and the daughters of God here on earth as we renew our minds, find out who you made us to be. Thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you go today. Have a great weekend.